Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Now joining us, Craig Moffett of Sanford Bernstein. Craig, good morning.
Good morning.
Why are we having a food war over Sprint Nextel?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We're just, like everyone else, responding to the news this morning that that SoftBank is interested in making a bid for Sprint Nextel. And what's been reported is that their interest is really in spectrum, at least as much as it is in the operating company itself. So, you know, it almost sounds as if they're talking about it like a Japanese company coming in and making a real estate investment in the U.S.
Well, you look at that and all of this interest. I thought this was a duopoly of Verizon and AT&T.
Well, it is interesting. Certainly all of the economics in the industry right now belong to Verizon and AT&T. If you measure it by cash flow from operations, they generate about 90% of the industry's cash. And so it has a lot of duopoly characteristics, and I think that's part of what has driven a lot of the M&A discussion in the last few weeks has been the expectation that the bottom end of the market has to get stronger if it's going to mount a viable challenge to Verizon and AT&T.
Let me bring in John Riding of RDQ Economics.
Yeah, Craig, you know, we had the AT&T T-Mobile deal, which broke down. You could see there that was straightforward. AT&T trying to buy equipment, spectrum, and so on, and improve its coverage here. There doesn't seem any... I'm not an expert at all on telecoms, any kind of tie-in here. We have also the story about Apollo Tyres bidding for Cooper Tyres. Is there a dollar story here? Is it the case the dollar has fallen so much that we're starting to see cash-rich companies globally buy cheap U.S. assets?
Well, that could be part of it. It could also be what you're hearing, the opposite side of that argument, which is that irrespective of the fall in the dollar is still highly regarded as a safe haven currency, and so there's some attractiveness of U.S. assets as being, quote-unquote, relatively safer. So I think you could make either argument. It's certainly, as you say, it's a bit of a head-scratcher to think about a foreign company coming in and buying a U.S. telecom asset. There certainly aren't synergy arguments that you can plausibly make for why they would want to own a U.S. operator.
What is SoftBank?
SoftBank it's actually become a Japanese holding company for all sorts of
I agree, assets. Yeah. It's not like a telephone company.
No, not really. It has some assets in the telecom business, but it has assets in lots of other businesses as well. It's started as, it's got everything from software and across the tech spectrum.
John, through the crisis, I did this the other day in trade-weighted major dollars, a 13% appreciation in the dollar coming off of, I believe it was June of 2006. It's been gradual, hasn't made a lot of headlines. But Craig, in your world, looking at transnational transactions, is the dollar cheap?
Well, let's go back to the premise of transnational transactions. This is not an international industry. This is about as domestic an industry as you can possibly have. There's been some cross-border transaction activity in Europe as we've moved closer to a single Europe. But telecom is quintessentially a local business. The assets themselves are the basis of the business, and the assets are entirely geographically defined.
Yeah, I look, Craig, at this in the blur of it. What do you see for fourth quarter earnings? Cummings Industries, difficult. Alcoa forecast, difficult. Are we going to see those challenges from domestic quasi-utilities like Verizon, AT&T, and the others?
Well, I suspect we will, but not for anything like the same kind of reasons. In some ways, it's for the opposite reasons. The U.S. telecom business has become a more and more cyclical business, but the cycle is not the U.S. economic cycle. The cycle is the iPhone. And during periods where there is no new iPhone, like the first and second quarters of 2012, the companies reported very high profitability because there were lower subsidies to report. This time around, with the iPhone hitting for a week in the third quarter and then all of the fourth, you're going to see a reversal of that, and margins will decline. And it's no longer an issue of the iPhone bringing lots of growth to the market. It really doesn't bring all that much growth to the market because the people who are getting iPhones already have smartphones and are already paying for data plans. They're just upgrading to new ones and incurring the incremental cost of the subsidy. So the iPhone is a double-edged sword, and the third and fourth quarters are going to be all about the iPhone.
Craig Moffett, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.